Seeing Voices, A Journey into the World of the Deaf. Written by Oliver Sacks. Narrated by Jonathan Davis. With an introduction and afterword written and read by Oliver Sacks.
We are remarkably ignorant about deafness, which Dr. Johnson called one of the most desperate of human calamities. Much more ignorant than an educated man would have been in 1886 or 1786. Ignorant and indifferent. During the last few months, I have raised the subject with countless people and nearly always met with responses like, "Deafness? Don't know any deaf people. Never thought much about it. There's nothing interesting about deafness, is there?" This would have been my own response a few months ago. Things changed for me when I was sent a fat book by Harlan Lane called When the Mind Hears, A History of the Deaf, which I opened with indifference, soon to be changed to astonishment, and then to something approaching incredulity. I discussed the subject with my friend and colleague, Dr. Isabel Rapin, who has worked closely with the deaf for 25 years. I got to know better a congenitally deaf colleague, a remarkable and highly gifted woman whom I had previously taken for granted. This colleague, Lucy Kay, is so expert a speaker and lip reader that I did not realize at first that she was deaf. It was only when I chanced one day to turn my head to one side as we were talking, inadvertently cutting off communication instantly, that I realized she was not hearing me, but lip-reading me. Lip-reading is an extremely inadequate word for the complex art of observation, inference, and inspired guesswork which goes on. When the diagnosis of deafness was made at about 12 months, Lucy's parents had immediately expressed their passionate desire that their daughter should speak and be a part of the hearing world, and her mother devoted hours every day to an intensive one-to-one tuition of speech, a grueling business that lasted 12 years. It was only after this, at the age of 14, that Lucy learned sign. It has always been a second language, and one that does not come naturally to her. She continued, with her excellent lip reading and powerful hearing aids, in normal hearing classes in high school and college, and now works with hearing patients at our hospital. She herself has mixed feelings about her status. "I sometimes feel," she once said, "that I am between two worlds, that I don't quite fit into either." I started seeing or exploring for the first time a number of deaf patients under my care. My reading rapidly spread from Harlan Lane's History to The Deaf Experience, a collection of memoirs by and about the first literate deaf, edited by Lane, and then to Nora Ellen Gross's Everyone Here Spoke Sign Language, and to a great many other books. Now I have an entire bookshelf on a subject that I had not thought of even as existing 6 months ago, and have seen some of the remarkable films that have been produced on the subject.